The Year Zero. The following article, written mostly by High Priest Don Danko, Majesten 666, is very revealing regarding the true purpose of Christianity and how it directly ties into Jewish communism. It is important to know how the Year Zero, used with the communist takeover of a country, was also used with the B.C. before Christ and the A.D. Anno Domini in history. History has been extensively corrupted by the Jews to conform to and to advance their agenda with enslaving the world. The B.C. stands for before Christ, and the A.D., which means Anno Domini. The term Anno Domini is medieval Latin, translated as in the year of our Lord, or in the year of our Lord. It is occasionally set out more fully as Anno Domini Nostri Iesu, or Iesu Christi, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. The supposed birth of the fictitious Nazarene was the year zero. Okay, like B.C. and A.D. we know, and it's like the Nazarene is supposed to be a marker throughout history. Okay, the supposed birth of the fictitious Nazarene was the year zero. The idea behind Year Zero is that all culture and traditions within a society must be completely destroyed or discarded, and a new revolutionary culture, Jewish communism, must replace it, starting from scratch. All history of a nation or people before Year Zero is deemed largely irrelevant, as it will ideally be purged and replaced from the ground up. In Cambodia, teachers, artists, and intellectuals were especially singled out and executed during the purges accompanying Year Zero. Quote from Rabbi S. Wise, The American Bulletin, May 5, 1935. Some call it Marxism, I call it Judaism. The communist soul is the soul of Judaism. Hence it follows that, just as in the Russian Revolution, the triumph of communism was the triumph of Judaism. This is a quote from A Program for the Jews and Humanity, Rabbi Harry Watton, page 143 through 144. Year Zero, the doctrine of communist Cambodia, which was called the perfect communist revolution, and was supported and put into power by the international Jews via their stronghold of communist China. It was a literal sweeping away of all civilization. The destruction of the family unit was to come to an end forever, the abolishment of all progress, music, money, hospitals, learning, books, and reading, and the total liquidation of the educated and professional classes through mass murder. Even love between humans was banned, with people being murdered for even smiling at each other in the slave camps. Even the word sleep was banned. People were worked from 3 a.m. in the morning to 11 p.m. at night on a bowl of rice. If they failed to work, or if they didn't work fast enough because of extreme exhaustion, they were killed on the spot. They were forced to live in barns without walls between them, and were not allowed to speak to each other. They were reduced to animals. The point of life was to work and die. The entire population was forced into this, and all of their culture was exterminated along with the people and replaced by a slave society of Jewish communism. All of the books within the great library of the capital were confiscated and destroyed by the communists. The cities were emptied, and one-third of the population was slaughtered. Any educated person was tortured to death after being arrested and taken into the infamous prisons and politically declared as a sub-person. Their pictures were taken upon arrest, and the pictures of their murdered and tortured corpses were taken again after being killed. Their throats were slit, and that's Jewish style, and their bodies were mutilated and carved open by the communist executioners. The majority of towns were all leveled into the ground, and the populations marched into a real-life Orwellian animal farm. Entire families were slaughtered. Women were even killed for the crime of being too beautiful. People were put to death for being able to read. The start of year zero was the end of life in now communist Cambodia. This was the perfect and total implementation of Jewish communism. This is exactly what we saw with the programs of Jewish Christianity and Islam. Jewish Christianity also started the calendar at year zero, Anno Domini AD, and did to entire societies what the communists did to Cambodia. The libraries were destroyed. The spiritual and thus educated classes were slaughtered and tortured. The cities destroyed. All knowledge destroyed. Art destroyed. Music banned. And even bathing was banned as pagan practice, with being able to read made a capital punishment by the church. The church commissars bragged they had wiped away the entire civilization and culture, and in its place was a slave society of primal communism, run by the party in the form of the church. Year zero. This fits well with the orthodox critique of Western Christianity. It is easy to see that the secularization of Western Christianity gives us liberalism. The secularization of the orthodox religion gives us communism. Communism is the final perfection of Christianity. Le Peuple Juif, February 8, 1919, quote, "The world revolution which we will experience will be exclusively our affair and will rest in our hands. This revolution will tighten the Jewish domination over all other people." The idea behind Year Zero is that all culture and traditions within a society must be completely destroyed or discarded, and a new revolutionary culture must replace it, starting from scratch. All history of a nation or people before Year Zero is deemed largely irrelevant, as it will ideally be purged and replaced from the ground up. If you think it is over, just remember, communism is the Jewish messianic movement created and directed by the elders of Zion, such as the Rothschilds. They are still around and still working relentlessly to turn the whole world into Year Zero, which is the final goal of Judaism. Zionism is Judaism. In the time of the Messiah, the Jews will exterminate all the peoples of the earth. Now here is an excerpt from the Elephant Walk Cookbook by Long Tiny D. Montiro and Catherine Neudstadt, copyright 1998. This is an excellent Cambodian, if you like Cambodian food, it's awesome. And she tells her story, and she fled to the United States. I mean, it's just horrible. They make it, I mean, they would have killed them. And it's sad she lost so much of her family, but here's the excerpt. "The country was deeply embroiled in a civil war between the United States-backed government of Lon Nol, who had replaced King Norodom Sihanouk following a coup in 1970, and the communist insurgent revolutionaries, the Khmer Rouge, who were thought to be close to victory. 3 weeks earlier, I had flown to Phnom Penh to try to persuade members of Ken's family and my own to come to Taiwan, as my parents had done earlier that year, where they could wait out the end of the war in safety. Ken had already lost relatives in the fighting, and the capital was under intense fire the whole time I was there. I was able to get only 3 nephews and one of my younger sisters to leave Phnom Penh with me. My mother, who had come back to be with her mother, was too old to travel and refused to leave. Later in the afternoon of April 17th, Ken and I listened to a radio report announcing that Cambodia had fallen to the Khmer Rouge and that the rebel troops were already marching into Phnom Penh as victors. And then there was silence. Days went by, then weeks and months, with no other official report or word of what was happening except for the rumors and unbelievable first-person accounts of people who had somehow managed to escape. Stories of savage cruelty and violence, of sanctioned executions and random murders at the hands of the Khmer Rouge. We heard of the immediate massive executions of millions from the capital over the course of a single day. but we could not believe it, nor could we imagine that the stories of resettlement into forced labor camps around the countryside, part of the revolution's plan to return Cambodia to a wholly peasant society, were true. Ken was trying desperately to make contact with the new government, to get news of our families and to get permission to return home, when he hoped to offer his diplomatic skills. When we finally did get some official word, it came from the CIA informing us that my older sister's husband, the chief of the Cambodian Navy, was believed to have died at the hands of the Khmer Rouge on that first day of the takeover. It was assumed that my relatives who held similar government positions, including my oldest brother, who had been the Minister of Commerce, had also died. Suddenly, all possibility of returning to Cambodia vanished completely, and at the same time that Ken's job in Taiwan was becoming increasingly untenable, how could he be a representative if there was no country to represent? For Ken, this meant the dramatic and untimely end to his career. For the family, it meant that we were forced into exile. In the months stretching into years that followed, we eventually found asylum in France and ended up in Belzers, a small Spanish-influenced town in the southwest, not far from the Mediterranean, where the surviving members of my family were convening. My two brothers-in-law and my brother were presumed dead, and there continued to be no word of my mother or grandmother, my younger sister, or any of Ken's family. Of these, only my sister survived. As our savings dwindled and it became unmistakably clear that there would be no future diplomatic positions for Ken, we faced a financial crisis. With the fracturing of the Khmer society in recent years, like many of its cultural treasures, the finest of the traditional cuisine of Cambodia, both simple and elaborate, stands to be lost forever. Most of the people who cared deeply about food have been killed, have fled the country, or have died of old age. At this point, I wouldn't know where to begin to look for the old women who used to guard the secrets of the best spices for curry, preserving them for future generations to enjoy. I assume that these women are all gone. Year Zero, the Civil War. In April 1975, the communists finally took control of the country. Under Pol Pot and a cadre of close advisors, the new revolutionary government set about to create overnight a quasi-Marxist-Leninist peasant society by returning Cambodia to what they called Year Zero, a society, as one historian characterized it, without money, markets, formal education, Buddhism, books, private property, and freedom of movement, and, needless to say, without cuisine. The impact of this era, the time of the killing fields, can hardly be overstated. Less than 4 years later, in 1979, the Khmer Rouge were driven out by the Vietnamese forces in retaliation for their attack on Vietnam. But their policies and practices had resulted in the deaths of more than 1 million Cambodians from starvation, overwork, disease, and torture. Decades later, the country still struggles to rebuild. Okay, and in the end here, I highly recommend, and people need to be educated about this because they want to do this to the entire world in the United States. The movie The Killing Fields, 1984. It's about a photographer is trapped in Cambodia during tyrant Pol Pot's bloody Year Zero cleansing campaign, which claimed the lives of 2 million undesirable civilians. Okay, and the stars are Sam Waterston and Hyang S. Nyor, and John Malkovich. And it's The Killing Fields, 1984. I highly recommend everybody see this movie, because that's what communism is. It's Jewish filth, and if we don't fight against it, seriously, this is not a live and let live situation, like these bimbos try to say. You know, this is something, if we don't fight against it, it's called either kill or